of America.
Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this live broadcast from Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news across Sudan and South Sudan this Tuesday, August 1st, 2023. Some young men and women in South Sudan have a reason to smile.
The $10.85 million grant provided by the African Development Bank is granted to boost micro and small enterprises for youth and women in agriculture value chain.
And the UN mission in South Sudan is calling on authorities in Jonglei State to stop intercommunal violence.
Pleading to every commissioner that please take the steps to bring back this youth from that and not to encourage any youth to mobilize and to attack GPA.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The UN Development Agency, or UNDP, and UN Women have launched a three-year program for youth and women who will receive $10,000 interest-free loans for starting businesses in South Sudan. For VOA News, Dimo Silva Aurelio has more.
The $10.8 million project funded by the African Development Bank will support micro and small enterprises to develop skills, formalize their businesses, and widen the markets in South Sudan. Temba Bebe, country manager for the African Development Bank, says the funds will support individuals secure a loan of $10,000.
The $10.85 million grant provided by the African Development Bank is granted to boost micro and small enterprises for youth and women in agriculture value chain and build human and institutional capacities through two projects. First project is youth enterprise development and capacity building, implemented by UNDP, and the second is private sector development in fragile context, capacity building and access to finance for youth and women, implemented by UN Women.
UNDP's country resident representative Samuel Doe says the money will improve the lives of nearly 3,000 men and women who could venture into lucrative and competitive medium business.
We want to encourage all the young people who have been receiving this money to really invest it in their businesses, to pay back this zero interest loan. We take the money and we deploy it back to other young people. So from 3,000, if they pay the loan back, another 3,000 will get the same money, another 3,000 will get the same money, and then the number of people in the small businesses will grow.
Doe says the project will connect young people to the banks and secure a possible future without any challenge.
When we started to think about this idea, many of the banks said it's difficult to give loan and get the money back. People take the loan and they go away. And so the risk of giving loans to small businesses in South Sudan is very high. We thought, okay, let's take the risk with support for African Development Bank. Let's start working with the bank, with M. Gurush and others, and they have strict criteria in selecting businesses. If these businesses are able to pay back the loan, they gradually begin to establish trust between the businesses and the financing institutions.
Rukaya Mohammed, UN Women Deputy Country Representative, says the project could strengthen social cohesion and help women to achieve financial stability in South Sudan.
Some of them will not access the credit individually, but as a group of five within a BSLA. BSLA has 30 members, but then within that again, we have a group of five each. Each may be specializing in either groundnut production or sesame or honey or fruit and vegetable, pottery, so in that area.
Nyal Deng runs a mobile money shop in Juba's Nimrata Latter suburb. He welcomes the initiative but says it is not very easy to run a successful small-scale business in South Sudan.
3 years ago, when I started my small-scale business, which is about mobile money service, so first of all, it was not that easy to start it because of the capital. I have the idea, but it needs funding. So the ways to get money, it is that hard. You know, you can try to go maybe and talk with people you know that they can support you. but sometimes you can fail from that person, so it will become very difficult, but at the end you can get something.
South Sudan's Minister of Finance and Planning says the 2018 peace agreement has provisions for use fund. Der Tongor says the National Parliament is yet to approve implementation of the fund.
Well, we need to do more in terms of providing or in terms of getting the legal framework for these funds that are in the peace agreement. We wanted the legal framework to be out, so that when that legal framework is out, how to manage these funds, then straight away we need to put our contribution, and we'll ask our development partners so that they make their contribution and we make these funds operational and maybe provide you with more funding.
Stanbic Bank and MGrush, a local money transfer company in South Sudan, will administer the interest-free loans after individuals or groups have met the selection criteria. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
Still in Juba, the UN mission in South Sudan is calling on the Jonglei state authorities to persuade armed young men who are allegedly fighting in Pibor to return to their villages. A senior state official in Jonglei says the government is working with local authorities to de-escalate the violence. For VOA News, Dengai Deng has details from Bor.
Gita Pius is the head of the UNMISS field office in Bor. She says Jonglei state officials are doing very little to prevent intercommunal violence between communities in Jonglei and the greater Pibor administrative area. Pius says peace among the communities is vital.
Pleading to every commissioner that please take the steps to bring back this youth from that and not to encourage any youth to mobilize and to attack GPA. Currently, because of the ongoing conflict, we will not get enough funding for the development.
Last week, authorities in the greater Pibor administrative area says an unknown number of people have been killed and villages set on fire by gunmen suspected of coming from Ayut and Twitch East counties in neighboring Jonglei State. John Samuel Manyon is the Jonglei State's cabinet minister and acting information minister. He says armed young men suspected of being from the greater Pibor administrative area carried out a revenge attack in Jonglei State, Huror County, killing four people yesterday.
We had an incident in Huror in a Boma called Uleng Boma, which is approximately about 8 kilometers from UIE town, which is the headquarters of Huror County. So this village came under attack by armed criminal from Pibor administrative area. They killed four people, among them two women, one old man, and a boy. And they injured about four others. They have went away with more than 100 heads of cattle.
VOA could not independently confirm Manyuan's account. Abraham Kelang is the information minister of the greater Pibor administrative area. Kelang says he is not informed about the recent attack in Huror. Klang says youth from Jonglei are still fighting in parts of the greater Pibor administrative area, adding that the affected villages are inaccessible due to poor roads and lack of mobile phone network.
For casualties and report, we are still waiting others' report from commissioner because a distance which attackers attack the community is really far, 3 or 4 days by foot. What we received, we are received only two. Casualties and others update we are still waiting for. No network connections. Where we need to, if we need to get update, we send a team up to that place in 2 days or 3 days and then we return it back again. No communication way.
When contacted for comment on the Pibor fighting, Michael McQuay, the South Sudan's information minister and government spokesman, had this to say.
Why don't you contact the security organs to give you more details about this?
Major General Lulroy Kong is the spokesperson of the South Sudan Army.
We have no information on what is happening. So you get in touch on those two reports.
For VOA News, I am Dengai Deng in Bor.
The founder and director of Promise Land Schools in Juba is in the United States for his graduate studies and is also working as a leader of the Mandela Washington Fellowship Institute at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. Jock Abraham shares his story of how he's providing education to South Sudanese in the backdrop of serious economic challenges in the country.
So I'm a Mandela Washington Fellow, 2018, at University of Delaware. So I went back to South Sudan after the fellowship, and I came back in 2021 for a speaking engagement, and I spoke at universities here in the U.S., American University and Pace University in New York. And I went back, and then I came at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County for my graduate studies, where I became the first international Peace Walker Fellow, studying entrepreneurship, innovation, and leadership.
What have you done with the knowledge that you got from that university?
The knowledge really helped design this Mandela Washington Fellowship Institute at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. As an alum of the Mandela Washington Fellowship, I was given the chance to be part of the team that put together the application and establishment of the Mandela Institute at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County.
And so what is this institute going to do? What is the objective?
Yeah, so this is the same initiative of the State Department, but the Mandela Washington Fellowship was not in Maryland as a state, and UMBC in particular. So we established this as the first Mandela cohort at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County.
Talk to us about your school in South Sudan.
The Promised Land Secondary School is going on well. The team is really progressing well. Now we are at the stage of establishing a college, Promised Land College, that will help bridge the gap of education, creating really life skills courses that are going to give our youth direct skills to go to the market to be innovative and productive citizens. And so Promised Land now is operating from primary school, secondary school, and in college.
And how many students are in this Promised Land Secondary School?
So entirely we have 1,500.
And I mean, is this education free or they pay school fees? And if they're paying school fees, how much?
Yeah, so the school is not really a profit-making institution. So we have a number of students that are under scholarships. And based on our performance, we gain trust from the public. And some parents who are able to pay started to bring their children to us. So, but we still continue helping the internally displaced students.
I mean, you can't run a big venture like that without a capital. I mean, if they're paying school fees, here you have like 1,000. How much are you charging per student?
Yeah, so those who are getting to pay the school fees, to pay about 60,000 SSP, that is an equivalent to about, $50 or so.
You will be coming here to do your postgraduate studies. What is the plan after studies?
Yeah, so the main goal is to really bring back great ideas and projects to help elevate the communities. So now my capstone project for my master's in entrepreneurship is going to focus on really innovative idea of a paper making company. I need to venture into like production company that will create more jobs, and the capital will really open more schools across the country in hard to reach areas. And the main goal is to really like kind of inspire the country to venture into production and manufacturing.
That's Jock Abraham, the founder and the director of Promised Land Schools in South Sudan. He's here in the United States to be part of the Mandela Washington Fellowship Program. You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, one South Sudanese who benefited from being at VOA says he's glad he works for the Voice of America. Find out more after this break. You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. As the World Breastfeeding Week gets underway today, child advocates are promoting mother's milk as the best way to get babies off to a healthy start and to save lives. The World Health Organization and UNICEF report exclusive breastfeeding could save the lives of more than 820,000 children under 5 years of age every year. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
The UN health agencies report their message about the benefits of breastfeeding is getting across. They note exclusive breastfeeding rates have increased by 10% to 48% globally over the last decade, but fall short of the 2030 breastfeeding target of 70%. They are calling for greater family, communal, and workplace support for nursing mothers. Nina Chad is infant and young child feeding consultant for WHO. Speaking on Skype from Sydney, Australia, she tells VOA the benefits of breastfeeding are as important as breathing fresh air and eating nutritious food. She says the way babies start eating in life is important for keeping them healthy throughout their whole life.
Breastfeeding is important because it protects babies from infectious diseases in infancy that can be life-threatening, and it protects mothers from non-communicable diseases throughout their life course.
To achieve maximum benefit, Chad says babies should be breastfed exclusively for the first 6 months of life. They then should be introduced to nutritious solids and continue to be breastfed up to 2 years of age or beyond. She says research shows such children are less likely to be overweight or obese, do better on intelligence tests, and earn a higher income in adult life. On the other hand, she says millions of children who are not breastfed are stunted and wasted. Many are overweight or obese. She adds many are at risk of infectious diseases such as diarrhea, which can kill them. Chad acknowledges breastfeeding can be challenging in areas of conflict and in emergency situations such as in Sudan or the Horn of Africa. But she says even under these difficult circumstances, it is easier to breastfeed than to formula feed a baby.
When you are in an emergency situation, usually infrastructure, health infrastructure, sanitation infrastructure, water infrastructure is disrupted, and that makes preparing a bottle of formula in a way that is that minimises the risk associated with getting it contaminated, so getting kind of germs in there that can make the baby really, really sick, is almost impossible in that situation.
She says it is much easier for mothers to breastfeed exclusively for the first critical 6 months of a baby's life. In marking World Breastfeeding Week, WHO and UNICEF say greater breastfeeding support in workplaces will boost global breastfeeding rates. They urge governments to ensure all mothers, even those who work in the informal sector, have access to at least 18 weeks of paid maternity leave. They call for new mothers to be given regular breaks so they can continue to breastfeed their children once they return to work. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
My colleague Nabil Biagio came to VOA's English to Africa as a fellow in September 2013. Then he went back to South Sudan and worked there for some time and came back again to the United States. He says VOA's English to Africa's service, as it celebrates its 60 years of broadcasting to Africa, he's grateful to be part of the work and the opportunity for him to provide the people of South Sudan with balanced information is nothing to talk about.
What I did is I just walked into the newsroom, into the studio. I learned to write radio scripts, to write intros. I learned to present, to do interviews, to record, to produce, while on the job. So that exposure was great.
Talking about meeting people, I remember you came here as a fellow with Atlas Corp, and you spent almost a year here, doing the job. And then you went back to South Sudan. I mean, when you meet people there and you tell them you're Nabil Biagio, what did they tell you?
I was surprised that a lot of people recognized my name. Only when I tell them I'm Nabil Biagio, they say, oh, Nabil Biagio, Voice of America. And then they start remembering, oh, yeah, you do sound a little bit like him. So to my surprise, I learned that a lot of people knew me before they met me, or many will not actually meet me. One small anecdote I can tell you, I went to Haimauna in Juba to test for malaria, and then the doctor was taking down my name and said, Nabil Biyalu, and he stopped writing. He looked at me and said, Nabil of Bio, I said, yes. And then he reached under his table, he got out his radio. He has an actual radio. And he told me every day at 7:30, I'd turn on the radio to listen to Voice of America. While working in South Sudan, you encounter, you know, people like that, moments like those, and you reflect and you feel that your work has impact. People listen, people value.
What was the story that you worked on, and after that you went home and said, wow?
There are a few. One is like when working on sensitive stories, stories that involve victims, involves vulnerable people who need their voices amplified and their grievances brought to light. And then you get a call, or someone who cannot get their side of the story told, like someone in a refugee camp, in an IDP camp, someone otherwise would not have a voice, and then they call you, they thank you.
How about one of the terrifying moments in your work? Because this work we do is dangerous.
We all know the environment in South Sudan is challenging. I think it was back end of 2016, 2017. I was detained for basically for nothing. I was doing a story, following up a story at Juba Teaching Hospital. And some security agents approached me and said, who gave you the permission to come in here and do interviews? And it was family planning, about family planning. And then I was detained for a few hours. I was taken to the operations center by the river. And I was interrogated. I was questioned. I was called a spy and a lot of things. And these are some of the challenges, I think, journalists, which you have to appreciate, journalists on the ground go through. Fortunately, I was not arrested. I was not taken to prison.
And what part of your work at Voice of America that makes you happy? For me, I love interviewing newsmakers.
I think generally it's the storytelling aspect of it. Let's say I'm following pursuing a story. You listen to the people, different sides presenting the stories. Then you sit with yourself. Now this is your part to do the storytelling. I find it both challenging and rewarding. And it's challenging because it's not just like stitching the story together, but also you want to be fair. You want to be balanced. You want to faithfully transmit or convey what people are airing to you, especially when there are different sides involved. I find it challenging and I find it rewarding.
I've met you since you came here, and I would say with a lot of confidence that VOA English to Africa built you. And on this 60th anniversary, what do you have to say?
It's a sweet, I think it's a bitter sweet thing. Like you said, I was built from being a fellow when I was new. And I had so many mentors, and you were one of them. But we have colleagues like Jody Capua, who is no longer with us, and other people that who were around us and worked with them closely. And I agree with you, in many ways, it shaped and built my perspective, my understanding, definitely my journalistic skills. So on the 60th anniversary, I sit here. I know I'm a small part of a really huge organization that goes back decades. I feel pride and joy being part of this big empire, this big organization.
That's my colleague Nabil Biagio sharing his reflections working here at the Voice of America. English to Africa service celebrates its 60th anniversary on August 4th. Help us to celebrate by sharing your thoughts on our program. Send a voice message or a text to the WhatsApp number +1 202 258 3076. Tell us what your favorite program is, or let us know what a particular news story that connected with you. Recall a favorite memory about VOA Africa and tell us what stories you think we should cover or how can we improve. That number again is +1 202 258 3076. And thanks for 60 years of support. Let's now go for some testimonies from our listeners across the world.
Voice of America is a radio with a wider coverage. I began listening to it in 2009 when I was in Cuba. And then it used to be VOA, but when they introduced VOA South Sudan in Focus, we are very much listening to it. And it brings reliable news, more especially what are happening in South Sudan and the neighboring countries. So really, it keeps informed people always. I have two. One is VOA South Sudan in Focus, and then I have also the television. That is VOA 54 countries. These are the two news channels that I always follow. So when I tune to television, I watch VOA 54, and then when I tune to radio, I listen to VOA South Sudan in Focus. Well, I like both of them. I don't like one of them, but two of them. Unless if where I have no access to television, then I will tune to radio. I like politics very much, and VOA always bring this political developments that are happening in the country. So they really have a very good coverage when it comes to politics.
First of all, I would like to say I congratulate VOA on its 60th anniversary of its operations. I actually like VOA news, especially the evening news. That's VOA Focus in South Sudan. I prefer it for that because it's time when everybody is always at home. Because when it is in the daytime, you may find majority of people in South Sudan, especially the youth, are always busy in their workplaces and they may not have time to listen with the day news. But when it is evenings, it is time when they are all at home and they can listen comfortably. I also like the fact that the evening news are covered deeply, and the fact that also the news that are being reported by VOA are well authenticated, and they present balance. The news they report is at evenings are also reported when the stories are balanced. So this is why I actually like the VOA news. VOA has been reporting very well on political issues. I like that. It has been also reporting on other sexual issues, but I also suggest that if possible, VOA also should be keen enough on the issues to do with the economics on our societies today, especially with this current inflation. So our communities are facing a lot of challenges with this current inflation, and of which BOA should actually shed some light on these challenges that are facing our communities so that the public is aware on how economic is actually mistreating our people today.
That's all we prepared for you this Tuesday, August 1st, 2023. I'm your host, John Tanza. And on behalf of our producer Kwame Ofori and engineer William Killer, we wish you a lovely evening. Remember to join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.